실전 모의고사 3회
1. Dear Mr. Johnson, every day I ride my bicycle past shabby, littered town park. Our once beautiful park is filled with weeds, broken playground equipment, and graffiti. I am disappointed in you for voting against additional funding for community parks. I believe that elected officials should consider the needs of voters in their community before voting on a bill. I do not think that you did that. You could have asked adults and children to find out how much the parks mean to them before casting a vote on the bill. Local business leaders did donate some money toward renovating the park, but it simply was not enough. In the future, I hope you will consider the needs of the citizens you represent when you cast your vote. Sincerely, Amina Wilson.
2. One advertising researcher argues that more than 3 exposures are wasted. The first creates awareness of the product, the second demonstrates its relevance to the consumer, and the third serves as a reminder of the product's benefits. However, even this bare-bones approach implies that repetition is needed to ensure that the consumer is actually exposed to the ad at least 3 times. Marketers attempting to condition an association must ensure that the consumers they have targeted will be exposed to the stimulus a sufficient number of times. On the other hand, it is possible to have too much of a good thing. Consumers can become so used to hearing or seeing a marketing stimulus that they cease to pay attention to it. This problem, known as advertising wear out, can be reduced by varying the ways in which the basic message is presented.
3. Stanley Milgram was born in 1933 to a Jewish family in New York City. His Hungarian parents ran a bakery in the Bronx, and he attended James Monroe High School with Philip Zimbardo. A high academic achiever and a leader among his peers, Milgram initially studied political science, but went on to receive a PhD in psychology from Harvard in 1960 under Gordon Allport. After working with Solomon Asch on conformity studies at Harvard, he became assistant professor at Yale, where he carried out his obedience experiments. In 1961, he married Alexandra Mankin, with whom he had 2 children. In 1963, he returned to Harvard, but was denied tenure because of the controversy surrounding his experiment. So he moved to the City University of New York, where he taught until his death at the age of 51.
4. Cities are an engine of future growth. Over the next 15 years, the share of the world's GDP in the top 600 cities is supposed to double. The share of the world's population living in the cities will keep growing, and the per capita GDP in the cities will grow by over 50%. The population in cities is expected to grow from 3.5 billion in 2010 to 6.2 billion in 2050. Cities are becoming bigger and wealthier. This has negative implications for energy consumption, transportation, and parking, as well as public safety and overall urban plans. Fortunately, thanks to consistently improving machine-to-machine technologies, our cities are becoming smarter, too. Sensors and real-time wireless communication allow for better energy management, traffic optimization, and building automation.
5. We may be impressed by the grand sweeps of history, and it may be easier to think about humanity in generalizations. But we mustn't forget that the whole is made up of parts. We must, of course, take an interest in what governments, multinational companies, and international organizations get up to, but we should not forget the role played by ordinary people at ground level. People without power or affiliation do change the world sometimes. A lone campaigner can represent the mood of millions. And social, technological, and economic movements often rise from small-scale endeavors that are dismissed in their infancy as one-off, localized experiments of no universal importance. It's easy to belittle any success story as being of relevance to only one family, one village, one moment in time. But a lesson learned in one part of the globe can spread everywhere else with telepathic speed.
Six. In 1951, American University football team, the Dartmouth Indians, played the Princeton Tigers. It was an especially rough game. Princeton's quarterback suffered a broken nose, and a Dartmouth player was stretchered off with a broken leg. It was not certain who was responsible for the accident. However, newspapers from each of the two universities presented very different descriptions of the game. The Dartmouth journalists described how the Princeton players had caused the problems, while the Princeton journalists were convinced that the Dartmouth team was to blame. Was this simply media bias? Intrigued, social psychologists tracked down Dartmouth and Princeton students who had been at the game and interviewed them about what they had seen. The two groups focused on different aspects of the action, resulting in vastly differing views about what had happened. When we are presented with ambiguous information relevant to our views, we tend to let go of our logic.
Seven to eight. Beer was a part of the lives of Egyptians and Mesopotamians from the cradle to the grave. Their enthusiasm for it was almost inevitable because the emergence of complex societies, the need to keep written records, and the popularity of beer all followed from the surplus of grain. Since the Fertile Crescent had the best climatic conditions for grain cultivation, that was where farming began, where the earliest civilizations arose, where writing first emerged, and where beer was most abundant. Although neither Mesopotamian nor Egyptian beer contained hops, which only became a standard ingredient in medieval times, both the beverage and some of its related sciences would still be recognizable to beer drinkers today, thousands of years later. While beer is no longer used as a form of payment, and people no longer greet each other with the expression bread and beer, in much of the world it is still considered the favorite drink of the working man. Toasting someone's health before drinking beer is a trace of the ancient belief in beer's magical properties. And beer's association with friendly social interactions remains unchanged. It is a beverage that is meant to be shared. Whether in Stone Age villages, Mesopotamian banqueting halls, or modern pubs and bars, beer has brought people together since the dawn of civilization.